Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. It's a blessing to be with you once again and with Patrick and Maureen behind the scenes and all the listeners.
Amen. On this dreary Wednesday afternoon, hopefully you're keeping warm and curled up somewhere and able to spend some time with us this afternoon. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, Father and I until 5, and then we'll have Lizanne and Michael Castagno in the studio at 5 o'clock talking about the Marriages of Grace Enrichment Day coming up on April the 2nd. In the meantime, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. We can't thank you enough. Just ask you to continue to do what you can, especially in light of recent events and seemingly the cost of everything going up. So whatever you do for us now is truly sacrificial, and we certainly appreciate it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of events that are coming up. This coming weekend, Father McKay and Kathleen will be out at the Malvern Retreat House right here in Malvern, Pennsylvania, with Kathleen's annual healing retreat. That'll take place from Friday around 5 o'clock until noontime Sunday. Father will be on hand for all things spiritual. I did not get word that it was sold out, so there may still be openings. Best bet is to either register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. 610-644-0400. That retreat now is about 49 hours away, so if you have any intention of going and haven't registered yet, I would do so right away. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Parish in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We open up the doors following the 8:30 Mass. The side door on Dickinson Street's open for the 8:30 Mass, and then the doors on 29th Street get opened at around 9 o'clock. Shrine's open from 9 to 6, both Tuesdays and Thursdays. We encourage you to come down, make a pilgrimage if you're going to do so. Get in touch with Father or I through the Our House Ministries website. We can arrange to meet up with you when you get there. Also coming up on Sunday, May the 1st, our annual Wake Up America dinner. This is going to take place out at the Malvern Retreat House from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. Doors will open at 1. Kathleen will be the keynote speaker. Father McKay, myself, many of the other broadcasters, engineers, and volunteers will be on hand at the event. We'll have, like I said, Kathleen will be speaking. We'll have a silent auction and raise much-needed funds in order to keep this radio apostolate going. If you're interested in attending, you can go to our website at inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there that you can click on to download the flyer. You can fill it out and send it in to Maureen. If you have any questions or want to register over the phone, you can always call us here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And last but not least, save the date, October the 10th, we're going to return to Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania for our annual golf outing. Again, one of the two fundraisers along with the Wake Up America dinner that we have each year in order to keep this radio apostolate going. So we'll provide more details as they become available, but for the time being, you'll want to put that date aside.
I was thinking, too, Ken, every Friday during Lent at 5 p.m., the Stations of the Cross here at St. Gabriel's gives you an opportunity to visit our shrine, but also to see, I believe, the most beautiful stations in the Archdiocese. Yep. So beautiful.
Amen.
And the church, the Cathedral of South Philly. Come and visit. Make a pilgrimage during Lent. It's a nice spiritual exercise. And be blessed, and bless all those who suffer so much with addiction as well.
Very good. All right, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, patron of the show, along with a few others. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Amen. Also, Ken, the Golden Hail Mary, just for peace, the end of the war there, and all the people that are suffering both in Russia and in the Ukraine, that there will be peace. The Spirit will come upon him and make unity. We pray that Golden Hail Mary, which our Blessed Mother, you know, ask us to pray for peace with the Rosary. But this is one Hail Mary from all of our hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and Saint Monica,
pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe and Saint Mark G,
pray for us.
Saint Francis of Rome,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
Francis and Claire, pray for us.
May
the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And hopefully we get some folks that will call in and witness to what God has done in their life recently. A great opportunity for people to let them know what God's doing in their lives, especially in these crazy times. We know God's alive and well and continues to take care of us despite everything that's going on. We are currently in the second week of Lent, and a couple of saints this week. On Monday the 7th, we celebrated Perpetua and Felicity. Yesterday, St. John of God, and today, St. Frances of Rome. And we thought we're probably going to dedicate most of this show today to St. John of God. He's a great saint to look up to, especially for those that have struggled with addiction or may not have led lives of purity and sanity. And he's done, became a great saint despite everything that he had faced in life. He was born and died on the same day, 55 years apart, March the 8th, 1495. He was born, and he would die on March the 8th in the year 1550. Around the year, he was born in Portugal, and at the age of 8, not quite sure whether he ran away, was kidnapped, or what have you, but anyway, he would disappear when he was 8 and end up in Spain, where he would tend sheep. He became a shepherd. And he would hang out there for roughly 14 years until the age of 22. And, at the age of 22, this is around 1520, maybe a couple years before that. And you think about what was going on in the world. Columbus had sailed to America. The Europeans were getting adventurous and, sailing all over the world and coming back with riches and that kind of stuff. So as young men, even as boys at that time, they have these dreams of going on these conquests and, you know, coming back rich and what have you. And that's what John saw and thought about. So at the age of 22, he joins the army, and he would spend the next 20 years of his life fighting for various causes. And during that time, he would get into scraps, he would fight, he would gamble, he would drink, all the things that soldiers of those days that would do, and always looking for loot, always looking to find a way to make a few bucks. And so naturally in that life, he you know, did a lot of reprehensible things. And he would eventually muster out at the age of 42, 20 years later, and just a lost soul, wasn't sure what he wanted to do. He makes a pilgrimage to Spain, back to St. James of, and I'm probably going to butcher the name, St. James of Compostela, you know, the way of St. James there in Spain. And when he got that back there, he also went back to his hometown to try to see what happened with his parents, and learned that his mother had died early on, partly of a broken heart, and that his her death, after her death, his father had entered a Franciscan monastery, and he would die there in that monastery. So, again, you know, realized that what it had happened with him as an eight-year-old had, you know, caused this pain for his parents, and he resolved that he would really give up his own life and try to atone for everything that he had done. And he would spend the rest of his life doing it, and which would only be 13 years, but again, the rest of his life. He set up shop and sold religious goods for a while. He ended up in an asylum, in prison. He would act out and act crazy, somewhat intentionally. And eventually he would get out of there and decided that he was going to help people. And he would pick up, you know, sick people, anybody that needed help. He would carry them to, you know, places that he would either own or rent, and do whatever he could to help the poor. And this was mostly as a result of his interactions with Blessed John of Avila. And that's how he would spend out of his days in Grenada. Eventually, or at one point, he had helped a kid that called him John of God. And when the bishops, he had a conversation with a bishop that was going to support him. And John told him about the story of being called John of God. And the bishop said, "Well, then from now on, that's who you'll be, John of God." So he spent out the rest of his days helping the poor, helping the sick. He would gain some followers because of the heroic work that he did, and eventually that they would become the hospitalers of John of God, and who exists to this day, the brother hospitalers of St. John of God. And just you know, a great reversal in his life. Goes from being you know, the man that sought all the riches of the world and the ways of a military guy, to giving up his life for the Lord to help the poor and the sick. So St. John of God, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday, Father.
Yeah, John of God. You know, interesting. The when he was young there too, Ken. He starts out as a shepherd boy. And right there, the seeds are planted by the Lord. He's going to become, he's going to go after the lost sheep, and he's going to be one of them himself. But he's going to see Jesus so present in those who suffer so much, in the poor, the needy, the addicts. And even, again, later on, after he gets out of the military, he goes right back and becomes a shepherd with the sheep again. So certainly all this must be touching his heart and mind with Jesus as the good shepherd. But he doesn't really reveal his sins, and they must have been very severe, shameful, the guilt, you know, because it drove him crazy. He just couldn't get beyond this shame and guilt, like so many addicts. You know, they just beat themselves up and keep thinking about what they did, and you know, all of our sins is a drop in the ocean of God's mercy, that we're not our sins, our shortcomings, or our character defects. But he must have really was hard on himself. And it was when he heard that homily by St. John of Avila, who was the spiritual director of St. Teresa Avila and St. John of the Cross. So he was hearing from the best. And whatever that homily was, he went out, and that's when he really started to torture himself, make a full out of himself, you know, thinking about his past, his sins, so much that they had to put him in a mental asylum. And he was there for like a year. And John of Avila heard about it, went in and talked to him. And this is the turning point for him, I believe, Ken, that he said, stop looking at your past and your sins. If you want to make an amends, then look ahead. Go out and help people. And serve the Lord, you know, serve people. And all of a sudden, the light comes on for John of the God, and now he goes, and he starts working with the homeless, the sick, the suffering. He gets a house. He's also a patron of the firefighters. The house goes on fire, and he runs in the house in the midst of flames, carrying bodies out one at a time. And he's never even touched or singed with the flames, but yet he's going through the flames. But a beggar, Ken, he's such a beggar to beg for the poor and the needy. He sees his debtors as the poor themselves. And in fact, he would have a basket and go around and beg for alms. And St. Jean Jagan, the founders of the Little Sisters of the Poor, would pick up with that idea with the baskets. And the Little Sisters still go to churches and just hold a basket at the end of masses, and people would come out and drop their donations in these baskets. But John of the Cross, he would go distance just to collect money for the poor. But by the time he got back with the money, it was all gone again, because he would run into other beggars on the way home. But benefactors found out about it, and they were really proud to be his benefactors. And, of course, the bishop got behind him, told him to wear a habit and, you know, go out and work for the Lord. And how he served. And what I said this last night, I kind of, you know, filled up a little bit, because I was thinking, Ken, of the power of the Eucharist there, and looking out, you know, the lost sheep too. They were all lost sheep, and seeing the suffering in all the people that come to us, and just that so much suffering, and to see Jesus there. And this is where John of the Cross would do. You know, he once in the hospital, he was washing a beggar's feet, and the feet were really wounded and bruised, and all of a sudden, all he could see is the feet of Jesus, and as he looked up, it was the Lord himself who said to him, John, you wash my feet. And that was very powerful. You know? And I told that story last night about the poor man that needed work boots, steel-toe work boots. And they were hard to get in the shelters because he wore a size 15. And I went out to a shoe store, a major shoe store, found those boots for him, gave them to him. And I just remember that night having a dream myself in my little garden of my soul, with the stone bridge and the waterfalls and the brook and the stream that comes under the wooden bridge. And I'm sitting there, and who's next to me but Jesus? And he's in the dream. He's kicking his feet out over the water, over the brook, the stream. And he's wearing these shoes, size 15, work shoes, steel tip. Afterwards, It was funny because Rick came up to me. He says, you know what, Father, I wear size 15 too. And I said, well, I was wondering if Rick was trying to tell me that he needed a pair of shoes, or that you know he saw Jesus in himself as well. But that was a powerful story for me, you know. And it's what John of the God shows us. You know, he really shows us that in each and every one of our hearts, we're baptized into Jesus. You know, we're grafted to the cross. He suffers in us. And we need to look beyond all of our shortcomings in people and all the character defects, and really just see our brother and sister. See Jesus Christ there, you know, who suffers for each and every one of us. He wants us to really love one another as he loves us. And just look at the cross, and you see how much that he really loves us. I always thinking about my Uncle Jimmy, Ken. I visited him a couple days before he died. I went into the hospital, and he said to me, Father, you want something from the Lord? I got a secret, and I can tell you how to get it. I said, well, Jimmy, I'm all ears. He said, well, close your eyes and see Jesus Christ crucified in yourself. and reach up and grab him by the ankles and look at his feet and take those ankles and push him up on the cross. And you alleviate the pain of him. And as you push him up on the cross, when he looks down to thank you, then you ask him for what you want. I always remember that, Ken, you know, this, just the suffering one. But I just want to share this story because, you know, he does live in us. He does suffer in us. And this story was so powerful. And I was a seminarian at the time. And one of the neighbors asked if I would go in and visit this man, Herman, because Herman had cancer and he was dying. And if I would bring a platter into him, because she says she couldn't go in because of the fecal smell, you know, the fecal matter, because he would mess himself, and nobody was there to clean him. And I remember going in, the smell was horrible. And I looked at Herman, he's laying on the couch, and he didn't want me to come in. I said, Herman, no, I'm coming in, and I have a platter here for you. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to bathe you. And I went upstairs, and I got him clean underwear, and I got a basin with soap. And Ken, I had to peel off the underwear because it was fecal matter on him, and the underwear was just sticking to his skin. And it's like it was almost like pulling off his skin to try to get his underwear off him. But I washed him down. And all the time that I did this, all I could see was the suffering Christ, the body of Jesus. It was a most powerful experience for me. And I really believe the Lord gave me these experiences early in life so I can still see the people who are suffering today, who are suffering so much, and even looking beyond them and seeing Jesus himself suffering, because we are fastened to the cross. We're nailed to the cross. But John of God, you know, he's just one of my favorites because he goes out for the lost sheep, and it's what we do here, Ken. We go out for the lost sheep, and we minister to them. We help them with their means, with their needs. But John of the Cross, as he comes to the end of his life, he's sickly, and it's this woman who goes to visit him, and she sees how sick he is, Lady Anne Orsorio. And she, right away, as she looks at him, because you know she knows he's not going to cooperate with them, she wants to take him to her place and care for him. So she goes to the bishop and gets a letter from the bishop, and the bishop signs the letter to listen to Lady Anne as you would listen to me. So he would have to go under obedience. So he's actually kneeling before the altar, the Blessed Sacrament. He has such a devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and also to the Blessed Mother. He actually made a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, all the way over to Mexico and back to Spain again. It was right around the time, I'm sure, that the apparitions had finished. But anyway, they pick him up from the Eucharist and they carry him off to Lady Anne's house where she can care for him. And he dies. He dies kneeling in front of a crucifix with his head on the feet of Jesus. It brought him right back to that again. You wash my feet. And last night I was pointing to our Last Supper painting, Ken, on next to our tabernacle there, where Jesus is kneeling down, washing the feet of the apostles. And Peter has one hand on the Lord, like welcoming him, and the other hand, I'm not worthy. And you see Jesus is the one kneeling, and Peter is sitting. But you see the dirty water, the slimy water, and you see the reflection of Jesus' face in the water, that he was washing their feet. And he's asking us to wash one another's feet, which is really symbolic of loving one another and taking care of one another. So honor God that he would die right there at the feet of Jesus with his head on the feet of Jesus. And recalling those words, John of God, when you wash my feet, when you wash the feet of the least of my brother and sister, you wash my feet. And it's not so much John of God as it really is God of John, because it's God who shines through John of God and brings so many blessings to the poor and the needy. But that's what I take home, Ken, you know, with John of God. It's just that Jesus is so close to our hearts. In baptism, we're grafted to the cross. We're nailed to the cross, the Paschal mystery, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he's with us always until the end of the world. But St. John of God, pray for us all.
Amen. And we got just a couple minutes before we'll be at the bottom of the hour. I want to give out the phone numbers, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. You know, it really is, you know, quite a story of a life that I think a lot of our listeners could relate to. You know, a lot of our following folks that are, you know, in recovery and need a recovery, have children or loved ones that are in need of recovery. And, you know, the witness that John of God gives by his life, and, you know, going from being a shepherd at the age of 8 back to being a shepherd at the age of 42, and, you know, being able to live out his days in service to God and his fellow man. And really, that's what we're all called to, you know, to serve one another. You know, you told the story last night, again today, about the, you know, the steel tip boots, and, you know, everything we do, we do for the Lord. And often we don't think about it when we're doing it. Hopefully we're, you know, decent people that are, you know, want to help one another. And so for some of us, it comes naturally, and we may not always think that we're doing it for God, but every once in a while you get that, you know, you get that reminder, you get that hint, you get the consolation that you've done something good in your life, and it impacts not just the person that you help, but it impacts yourself. And we don't always know, you know, how it gets paid forward, you know. And so these acts that we do, whether they're great or small, can have a huge impact on other folks. And being able to be in a position today to be able to be of help to others, something I never dreamed of, you know, and especially in my 20s, and now having been able to do it for probably not the whole 30 years that I've been away from the booze, but, you know, certainly the last 25 or so. And to think that, you know, God has done this for me, and if he wants to do it for me, he wants to do it for everybody. You know, we just need to turn to him and open our eyes and look at what's going on around us, especially in this crazy world we're in today. You know, and people are suffering in so many ways, and I think in many ways that are not obvious, right? I mean, it's real obvious when somebody's in a drunken stupor or in the fog of a drug addiction. But people that are suffering from depression or anxiety, or you know, things that have gone on in their past, and they try to put on a good face, and with what's going on in the world today, it's starting to grab people, and I think it will continue to do so, especially as things continue to unravel over the next few weeks, few months, for however long God's going to allow this to go on, until he declares enough's enough and steps in and does something about it. But I think now more than ever, we need to be there for one another, whether they're in recovery or not, whether they're family or not, whether they're friends or not, and just do what we can to make a positive impact on this world.
I was also John of God. He was, I'm not sure if you, but the cart, and where he wanted to do something, he started selling religious articles and books.
Yep.
And he would explain what the metal was and give a little teaching. And then the first shop, really, religious store that was open there in Granada, I think St. Jude Shop would be proud to know that. Maybe they can give out some souvenirs of John of God today. But, yeah. We always wanted a religious store here, and we get so many medals. You know, Ken, how many people send to us their sacramentals. When somebody dies, we get these beautiful paintings of the Sacred Heart and medals they give us, and all kinds of stuff. So we could open up a religious store, you know, and just instead of selling anything, just yes, for donations, and put all these beautiful sacramentals back into circulation.
Yeah, no, keep a good thought. We had our meeting with Father Foley on Monday, and we're going to hold him to it to provide that space in St. Gabriel's, where we can do just that, not only the items that we have with Matt Talbot, but, you know, you mentioned all those things that are, and are really all over the place. We'd have to start sorting through them and seeing exactly what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we can't have it unless you call in. 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. A quick shout out for the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. We get together every Tuesday evening in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, St. Gabriel Parish, on the all but the third Tuesday. We meet in the Annex building at the corner of 30th and Dickinson. The entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. We have a brief period of adoration beginning at 6 o'clock and then Mass around 6:15 with a Calyx meeting at 7, where we discuss our recovery in light of our Catholic faith. On the third Tuesday of each month, which will be next Tuesday, March the 15th, we will be in St. Gabriel Church like we are every third Tuesday. And things get started there at 6 o'clock as well. We begin with the Angelus and some prayers. And then we'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament from a few minutes after 6 until approximately 6:45. During adoration, Father McKay and hopefully at least one other priest will be available to hear confessions. And then we'll have benediction at 6:45, where we pray the Matt Talbot healing prayer along with a litany to Matt Talbot and conclude with benediction. Following benediction, we'll flip things over and get ready for Mass and have Mass at 7. Mass usually goes about 45 minutes. We're out 7:45, 7:50, and it's really been a great evening. We've had 35 to 45 people the last couple of months, and our goal is to one of these days pack that church. So we pray for all those that struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, and the loved ones and caretakers of those that have friends and family that are struggling with addiction. So all are invited to come and pray with us, and we hope to continue to build this up each month. Again, that's on the third Tuesday. This coming month, that'll be next Tuesday. You ever have any questions about Calyx, you can get in touch with me through the radio here or through the Our House Ministries website. Be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have. All right. We want to have our Is That God Odd or Is That God segment, and we have a caller who we all know. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, hold on a sec. Hold on a sec, Tom. Somehow or other, you ended up on the phone instead of... I must have hit the wrong button. Can you hear me, Tom? I don't want to drop him. Here we go. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Father.
Yeah, it's Ken and Father. How are you, pal?
Good. How you doing?
All right. What's on your mind?
Good. I had a odd or God, but then as Father was speaking, I had two. In that half, the past half hour, we were talking about who were we talking about? They were their eyes weren't open when he saw were open when he started service. Saint John.
Yeah, John of God. Yes, Saint John of God.
John of God. Okay, yeah. And that was a main part of my, it is still a main part of my sobriety is the service, and you know. Being in my group, you know, and then the other one was Father was talking about a brook with a bridge going over it. I ended up in a psychiatric ward through my addiction. I can't never forget it. It was the day the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so yeah. I didn't get to see that first of all. But then I was in the hospital, I don't even know how long, but they told us the color, our ideal place, you know, where we want to be. And I drew a brook with a bridge going over it under a, and a tree. And it's just, I had two other gods within this past half hour. I was going to say the other one that I had, but after hearing that, I was like, oh, man. And I love it. I totally love it. But through my service and all, I celebrated 3 years, March 6th, which was Sunday. I'm coming back tomorrow, coming back to play. I'm still up working up in Boston. Actually, I'm sitting here. It's snowing again up here. But I'm coming back to celebrate my three-year anniversary at Weekenders on Saturday. And through getting sober, by the grace of God, Weekenders, and Calyx, my, you know, going to all these meetings, the Calyx meeting, and I'm able to stay sober. And it's odd or God a half hour for me, big time.
Amen. And you had a, you know, congratulations on the 3 years. I heard you had a significant event over the weekend too, huh?
Yeah, Rose drove up. Her and our friend Sharon showed up. Unannounced, I didn't know. I was sleeping, and Sunday they came up, gave me a 3-year coin. We went out to lunch. We went sightseeing through Boston, and we did lunch, and then they drove back. And then Father, if you could remember tomorrow, Rose is coming up, driving up here again to pick me up. If you could say a prayer for her to get on the road, if you could do that, please.
You got it, Tom. We miss you.
Thank you.
And when you come home, bring your trowel and your cement bucket.
Yeah. Do you hear what Father said when you come home? Bring your trowel and your cement bucket.
I already have one thing I have to do, and yeah. I'm already going to be back until Sunday. But I there's something pressing that I need to take care of when I do come back. So yeah. But you know what? It just keeps me sober.
Amen.
It keeps me doing the right thing. But hopefully I'll see you guys Friday morning. I know, Father, you're going up to Malvern, but I'm going to try to catch his early in the morning. I'm going to catch Patrick before he goes away. He's going up to Vermont, I believe.
Yeah, you're going to miss him, I think. He's leaving tomorrow.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Patrick leaving tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay.
But we'll catch up.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Tom, we heard you were coming to town, so we're all leaving.
I know. That's what I said, Patrick. I told you, Tom, man, you planned your Vermont trip right on my anniversary. A joke with him. I love you guys, so I really do, and hopefully I can see you. If not, I'll see you when I get back, whenever that is. I have no idea when I'm coming back. It can't be much longer, but it's snowing again up here, though. Okay, I'll let you go. You probably have other callers, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
okay,
Tom.
We'll be praying for Our Lady of the Highways, St. Christopher, and St. Raphael, the traveling angel, for Rose and you for a safe journey.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
thank you very much, Father.
Welcome home.
I'll see you.
On home. All right.
Later.
All right, thanks, Tom. Take care. God bless.
Later.
Yeah, so we have Boston Tom, right? Tom D, that calls a lot on Wednesdays when he's sitting in the parking lot at St. Matthew's waiting for the Calix meeting. He's actually from Boston, and this Tom is from Philly. He's working up in Boston, so good for him. I saw you posted on Facebook over the weekend when Rosie and their friend Sharon drove up and gave him his coin. What a surprise that must have been.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about going the extra mile.
Amen. So even though he said he was going to drop off because he thought we would have other calls, we do not. So, yep.
Some of them are itching to call. They just have to take the courage, dial those numbers, and come on with us. Right?
Yeah, and that's just right.
Get a little chat.
And those numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or toll free, 888-343-2484. So.
Yeah, that was last night was a good otter guide. I think we won 15 minutes, you know, people just sharing their experiences of God throughout the week.
Yeah.
You know, just it's really encouraging just to hear that as we share our faith with one another, Ken, and build our own faith together. How we need one another to inspire one another, how the Lord works through each of our hearts for one another. To build up the whole mystical body of himself, of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, frankly, that's why 12-step programs works, because people witness to one another with the 12 steps, with the program, what God has done for them. And a lot of times our so-called normal Catholics, people that maybe don't struggle but make regular attendance of Mass and those types of things, they we just don't witness to one another like we could or should. I know, and I've mentioned this before, my home group that I went to for years was in a Protestant church, and a number of the people that were in the group also went to the church. And, you know, they were always getting asked to give witness talks at services on Sunday, and they would be beaming, the idea that the pastor would ask them to get up and say a few words and witness to what God's done in their life. And I often think what it would be like on Sundays. And, you know, our priests give great homilies and sermons and those types of things. But, you know, whether it's before Mass or after Mass, in between Masses, to have folks in the pews be able to, you know, just say a few words and give their otter God. And witness to one another, because we a lot of times, especially now, it's not like it was 50 years ago where a lot of the moms weren't working. They'd stay home. They'd talk over the fence, and they witnessed to one another in those conversations, and the kids would be out in the yard playing. You know, now it seems like everybody's locked up in their house, not just because of COVID, but because everybody's working, and the kids that aren't working, they're at home and in front of computers or Xbox or Game Boy or whatever, Nintendo, whatever it is they're using these days. And so you know, I think Mass and at church is the ideal opportunity for folks to witness to one another as to what's going on in their lives and how God's working with them. In the meantime, we did grab another caller. Father, hold on a sec. Hello, John.
Father Doug, how are you?
Hey, John.
How you doing, okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Father, do you know who I got on the board here? John Midnight. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to figure out what John that was. Yeah. This is John of God, right?
It's plenty
hey,
of
John,
John,
how you doing?
Sure.
I think you just had an anniversary, did you not?
Yes, I did, and I wanted to call and tell you that it was 31 years, March 1st. And the Weekenders group was a big part of that. The gang down Grace Ferry, yourself included, a great part of that, you know.
Wow.
And I can't take any credit for that. Who would have thought it, you know? So,
yeah.
It's just a beautiful life. Our Father, it's just a beautiful life.
Yeah.
And so. And then Patrick answered the phone like a professional. My God.
Well, wonders never cease.
I said, I got to get him a job out Penn doing something like that, you know?
There you go.
Hey, John, 31 years now, forever to go.
I know that. I hear that.
Yeah, that's great.
Just want to tell you I'm grateful, Father. I'm a grateful person today. And it's totally different than what it was when I first came in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. I need some prayers for myself. I'm a little bit hurting physically, and my wife, she's hurting too. So I'd appreciate some prayers from you guys over at Our House Ministries.
You got it, John.
You know?
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, and I love all you guys over there, okay?
All right, John. Yeah, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah.
You take care now. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Thank
thanks
you.
For calling in, and be sure of our prayers. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Life is fragile. Handle it with prayer.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the truth. Okay. Yeah.
All right, John. Right. God bless you, pal. Thanks for calling.
It's good. Good to hear from, dare I say, Midnight.
Yeah.
I remember his mom and dad and his brother Tommy when we played the poor boys, how faithful they were, really, you know, to all the games and cheering us on. And we did pretty well, the Frankie poor boys. But always remember his brother Tommy there, you know, he had to give him the quarters, you know, because he always he kept the books, you know, the runs, the hits and all. But happy days back then, Ken. Many happy days.
Very
and
good.
Like John was saying, he's grateful today. I think, you know, a happy heart, a grateful heart, you know, is a happy heart. You know, if you're grateful, you'll be happy. You know, you're looking at your blessings instead of our mishaps. But there's so many blessings in all of our lives. So keep focusing on those blessings from the Lord, and we'll be happy.
Yeah. Now, and as you said, John mentioned, you know, the gratitude. And I always remember that gratitude rosary where and you were the one that told me about it. You know, grab your rosary beads. You got, 59 beads on there or whatever the total count is. And, you know, you go around that rosary and on each bead, God, I'm thankful for. And you'd be surprised. You may struggle at first trying to get all the way around there and come up with 59 things. But if you really think about it, it's not real hard. To list them all out, whether it's individuals in your life, situations in your life. It's just, we have everything in the world to be grateful for, and sometimes it can be really hard to see that. And in these times, which are relatively dark, it can be a struggle to think about, you know, what the heck can I be grateful for in all this mess? And yet, you know, the fact that we wake up in the morning, the fact that hopefully we were able to put a meal on the table, we got a roof over our head, hopefully we have at least a couple of friends and family that we can be grateful for. They may not be the greatest people in the world, that's okay, but they're still, you know, in our lives. And when you approach life that way, instead of looking at what you don't have and what you think you need, and take the opposite view and look at all that you do have and that hopefully most of your basic necessities are met, you know, shelter, clothing, food, and we all should have plenty to be grateful for, huh?
Yeah. Let me get this one in. I heard the phone ring. It's a nice quote here, Ken. I ask God to give me all things so that I may enjoy life. And God gave me life so that I may enjoy all things. You know, just think of all those blessings go around, and you become more aware of all the blessings, and our hearts will be grateful. And we're really focusing on all the blessings of God and not the mishaps. And then we'll be happy.
Amen.
Ask God to give me all things so that I may enjoy life. And God gave me life so that I may enjoy all things. His beautiful sky, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the trees, the flowers, the bees, the animals. It's all ours, Ken.
And that's perfect because it leads up into another caller. Father, you heard it ring, and sure enough, we've got Joyce on the line. Hello, Joyce.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Joyce.
I'm fine. It's I was calling. I have the other thing on the other radio here. But I just wanted to call in and say thank you. And it said where I saw God. And I remember early on in recovery, I was discouraged about staying in AA. And I guess I was maybe a month sober. And I had a dream. And I grew up in South Philly in St. Edmund's Parish, and they had this fire escape. And on the fire escape was in this dream. And anyway, I...
Will you lose you, Lizanne? Lizanne, you went out on us.
Joyce, yeah.
Or Joyce, I'm sorry. Lizanne's our guest at 5 o'clock. Joyce, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you, but I'm on two different things here.
Yeah, if you could turn your radio off, that'd be great.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Got our interest,
sorry.
Joyce.
I'm sorry. Well, I grew up in South Philly in St. Edmunds, and I didn't know whether I was going to stay or not. And because there was a crisis that had happened. And in this dream, a hand had grabbed me and took me out to the fire escape. And when I walked, and I believe it was Jesus, and because I couldn't see his face, and he drove me along, walked me along, and opened the door. And when he opened the door, it was an AA meeting. And
wow.
I thought, oh. And I remember waking up that morning, and I think that was when I really surrendered to the fact that I had a problem. Because up to that point, I thought I was in control of everything. And I liked what I heard today on the radio, because these stories that we hear of the saints, and because I read a lot of Mark Kelly and your books too, Father.
Thanks,
I just am amazed at how open my mind is today. And I am a Matt Talbot retreat master also. So I think there's no coincidence that I'm back in South Philly or in Delaware County after being away for like 20 years down south. So I'm just grateful that Patrick had told me about the group. And I just arranged the other day to have rides to there in a couple weeks to drive me down to South Philly for the groups down there, and also out here at St. Francis. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Joyce. I said that's interesting that the Lord took your hand, took you to AA. You know, it's always the truth.
Yes.
That, you know, God, he's the founder of AA, and God leads us to AA, and AA leads us right back to the heart of God.
Amen.
The higher power, the only power.
Yeah, and I'm sober 40 years.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, it certainly does. Joyce, thanks for the call. I haven't met you yet. This is Ken, but I'm sure we'll cross paths at Calix one of these days. Look forward to meeting
sure.
you. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
I do too,
bye
Joyce.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Maybe some more callers out there, Ken. That's coming along pretty well here.
Yeah, we just got a couple minutes left. If you want to call, now's the time. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We're toll-free, 888-343-2484. Yeah.
That was a powerful dream. You know how the Lord comes to us in our dreams, though, you know, really, and just leads us, you know. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of the things that...
Out of the world.
Yeah, one of those things in life. I'm certain that I dream, but for whatever reason, I wake up in the morning and it's rare that I remember, you know, what it was. I even try to lay there for a minute and, you know, unless I wake up in the middle of it, it seems to elude me, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got just about 3 minutes left.
Okay. You know, I just want to get back to John of God.
Yeah.
Because he's such a role model for people who are, you know, just beating themselves up with guilt and shame, you know, because of addiction and things that they have done. You know, you often think of, you know, what I've done to my family, what I've done to my friends, you know, and trying to make amends, and I'm a terrible person. You wake up in the morning demons hit you, you're no good, don't try to be sober. You know, we listen to this pack of lies all the time, and the Lord loves us, you know. He looks right behind all this stuff, and he sees ourselves. And John of God, you know, he was a late bloomer, Ken. He was, 40 years old. Our life begins at 40. And he only lives for another 15 years. But boy, did he get back the amends that he made. But it was all through the grace of God. And, you know, just AA is right through this man, John of God, like, you know, doing the 12-step work. You know, Ken, going out and helping others and forgetting what he did. And going out and serving and helping others, and that made him holy.
Yeah,
that's where he's seen the Lord.
Yeah, he's like the poster child for the ninth step, where, you know, we go out and make amends, and he you know, after he realized that he may have, you know, driven his mother to an early death, and his father had passed, so he couldn't make those direct amends, that he spent the rest of his life trying to atone for the things that he had done in life. And I don't know that we're all necessarily called to go to that extent, but certainly, especially during this Lenten season, it's a time of penance. It's a time where we can make those atonements. We can right those wrongs, that we can maybe spend a little extra time looking at our lives and seeing the things that we've done, maybe those sins that we've not confessed or have been reluctant to confess, and you know, clean up that slate. You know, get right with God and get right with one another. Yeah,
and God doesn't want—he doesn't want another Saint John of God. He wants another. He wants a Saint Kenneth Allen, you know,
and a Saint Douglas.
Who are you? And that's all you have to be. You,
right? Amen. You
know? Yeah.
All right. I have guests that have already arrived for the 5 o'clock hour, and they're going to be in studio. So we're just going to wrap up about a minute early here. So, Father, if we could get your blessing, that'd be great.
Yeah, and all those who've asked for the prayers too, Ken, throughout our program, Johnny McGuire's wife and Tommy, and all of our listeners. So just ask the Lord to bless us all in Ukraine and Russia and all of us. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, your blessing through your priesthood, Father Douglas Michael, and bless all this whole world of yours, and bring peace into our world, into the Ukraine, Russia, into our own hearts. Lord, let us know your abiding presence, and help us to see your presence in one another and the love you have for each and every one of us, and bless us all. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
All right, Father, thanks so much. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with our in-studio guests. Don't go away. We'll be right back.